Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was not exactly right.
This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Dr. Albert Mohler, sometimes known as the Fonzie, mostly known as Dr. Mohler, sir, changing his mind about for whom he is going to vote in this here presidential election. And to that we say salute. It takes a humble man on a public platform to say, hey, I didn't get it right. I say good on him for that. May many join his tribe. Why? If you have not heard, there is undoubtedly, whether it is organized, it happens to be individual brothers who are making this effort, there is nevertheless a big push to persuade you, don't feel bad about not voting for one of the two big guys. It's okay if you vote for somebody else, because they believe that the current president is so bad. You can just pick whatever adjective you prefer. They simply cannot, in good conscience, vote for him because of his character, presumably outweighing his policies. And so it is. We have seen a never-ending barrage of individuals making the case, don't worry if you don't want to vote for the pro-life guy. This one, hot off the press. This is mainstream evangelicalism. This is the largest voting bloc in the country. And the only reason, no, not the only reason, there are many reasons that we happen to be talking about the election on this here Christian radio program. The life issue, paramount, most certainly. But there are other issues. And to all of my evangelical friends who are thinking about, well, my pietistic conscience won't let me vote for somebody that I find to be so obnoxious, life ain't the only issue at stake. If you don't think that socialists have an agenda regarding Christianity, my friend, you need to take a trip. You need to go overseas. You need to visit the countries where socialism reigns. The Christians there would be shocked that you are giving it a pass. They would be staggered that you are willing to say, it's just everything's going to be the same, just a little bit more fair. That's not the way it works. There is an agenda against Christ and his Christ ones, and I promise you, you will feel it. If you love the idea, for instance, of churches not being able to preach whatever they want, then this is no big deal. If you don't care about things like tax-free status, this is no big deal. If you don't care about adoption agencies not being able to discriminate against people who aren't a boy and a girl, then this is no big deal. If you don't care about florists and bakers and candlestick makers who want to exercise their religious conscience and not perform a service for somebody that they believe is living in sin, then this is no big deal. If you have no problem with your girls in high school showering with other boys, then this is no big deal. But if you happen to think those issues are rather urgent, then I would suggest to you this is a big deal, Christian. This is not a culture war. This is a dogma war. That is what socialism at its core is about. We are a part of the drug-addicted ones because we simply have an opiate. We believe in a fairy tale to help us get through the day. We happen to believe in God, and that is anti-socialist to the core. That is what Karl Marx was all about as a philosopher. He wasn't an economist. He was a philosopher who applied a godless worldview to economic systems. And it every single place it has infected has indeed squeezed Christianity. You don't care about that? Then no problem. But if you do, these articles should concern you. Headline, three causes for political tension between Christians. And we get page after page explaining why we feel at odds with one another. And then this gem buried at the end. Quote, from mainstream evangelicalism, from a ministry that you and I would look at and go, oh, wow, have learned so much from that ministry. Quote, we would encourage you to view votes less as matters of self-expression or tribal identification. If your chin hurts, it's because it's getting boogied right now. This isn't this complex. We would encourage you to view votes less as matters of self-expression or tribal identification and more as strategic calculations concerning these kinds of non-biblical matters. Really? So morality issues like life and marriage, and even economic systems to a degree. These are non-biblical matters. Huh. That's a blast of information. Then, recognize that different Christians will make different wisdom-based calculations, and we're just going to get along and sing kumbaya as the socialists take over and say, I have no problem with the way that you voted. Who's that at the door? Is that the butt of a gun they're using to bang on it? This is not a joke. This is not just about the life issue. That, to me, is the preeminent issue. But this is about Christian liberty. Make no mistake about it. It will change, and it will change radically. You will feel it. You're intended to feel it. This headline, another wonderful ministry, titled, Sir, This Is a Local Church, or How an Absurdist Mean About a Roast Beef Shop Might Help Heal Your Church. And it goes on with oodles of chin boogie to just let you know, hey, these issues shouldn't divide us. Hey, actually, I think they could. I think these are big deals. These are not non-theological issues. If you had somebody in your church voting for the pro-starvation party, they want people to starve to death. And would you just say, well, no big deal. We've got different calculations. And we don't want tribal separations just because they believe in the starvation of people. We're going to get along just fine. This election is not causing a divide. It's revealing one. This election is demonstrating that our robust theology ain't that deep. And that has been the case, quite honestly, for at least 20 years. This goes back in my mind with a great deal of clarity. Some people today are going, hey, wait a second. This whole movement toward conservative biblical Christianity has not been very deep. Yeah, I know. I remember years ago talking to somebody who was trying to form one of these big organizations, asking them about the issue of creation. Well, we don't take a position on it because we just don't have agreement. Oh, I see. So creation just isn't a big whoop. Uh-oh, that organization is in trouble. By the way, I just quoted you from that organization regarding voting. We are seeing that many, many of these organizations and churches that we were once so excited about because they do not have a deep belief in what? What? What's missing? What's the secret sauce? What's the congealing element that's missing here? And the answer is sola scriptura. That's the answer. Because you see, being conservative isn't about an issue. It's about the Bible. And when the Bible is not esteemed exceedingly high, then you will have low areas of theology somewhere. And that's what we're seeing. The ballot booth is not your baptism. Again, major evangelical organization. Quote, I've seen a troubling trend toward elevating the ballot booth to a sort of baptism, a religious litmus test that either confirms or denies our faith. You know what? Actually, I'm really close to saying I think it might. Not always. Hey, Are you okay with the pro-rape candidate? No problem. It's all right. It's not a baptism issue. It's not a theological issue. You know somebody in your church who's okay with the pro-sex trafficking party? Don't worry. Don't let it divide you. This isn't a theological issue. Actually, it is. Now, is it to the point of separation? Maybe, maybe not, depending on other issues, of course, and a more personal exploration of the issue. But these downplayings of major issues, like, hey, these aren't big deals. These shouldn't divide. Really? If this were about slavery, would we be talking like this? Here's the advice. You're likely not an expert. So if somebody disagrees with you, don't worry about it. Neither party is Christian. Politicians don't always keep their promises. And so the conclusion, political diversity among Christians isn't new. So it's okay that you vote for somebody who is pro-slaughter of children, pro-anti-religious liberties positions, pro-LGBTQ confusion. Really? These aren't theological issues that are gonna divide us? Whoa. This is Wretched Radio. If you have been going bonkers and perhaps praying for alternatives to expensive health insurance, I am thrilled to commend to you MediShare. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched to learn about affordable, biblical health sharing. This just might be the answer to your prayers. Imagine Christians praying for you and sharing one another's health care burdens. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched.
Don't you just love how easy texting is? Long phrases summed up in just a few letters, like LOL or TTYL. How about TTWWTTN44321? BRB? Wait, are you confused by one of those? Well, for those of you not up to date on Gen Z lingo, TTWWTTN44321 means text the word wretched to the number 44321. That's right, it's never been easier to become a gospel partner. Without our gospel partners, wretched would literally CTE. That ceased to exist in Gen Z, so go ahead and text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched. Nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
129 people commit suicide each and every day. 129 people. That's 129 too many. As a matter of fact, this generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. People are in desperate need of help. And that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it at the moment, but you do know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is going to provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. So get your copies now and give these booklets away to someone who needs hope. You can find your copies online right now at our website, wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute number two. This is Wretched Radio. Salute to Dr. Albert Mohler for doing something that is very difficult. Publicly stating, hey, what I said 4 years ago wasn't right. I was actually...
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was...
So salute to him for being willing to... What many people would say, oh, that jeopardizes his credibility. No, it doesn't. It just recognizes what we all know. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has this thing correct. And what Dr. Mohler says far more eloquently than I ever could, history changes with time. It happens in time. That back then, when he was considering for whom to vote, ringing in his own ears was his objection to President Clinton occupying the office when he was doing terrible things in that office. And he felt that if I endorsed somebody who was very similar in many regards in his extracurricular activities, that he would be a hypocrite. And we can understand that. Because history happens in time. There was a time when we looked at the moral character of political leaders and we went, that is really paramount. It's changed. We just don't have that luxury anymore. And he recognized that. And to him, I say, absolutely, salute. May more join his tribe, because there is an increasing chorus surrounding him saying, it ain't no big deal. It ain't no big whoop. I'm just telling you, I think it's a big whoop. It is not just babies that should be concerned, and they should. Every Christian church, every Christian believer should look at this and go, you know, all this kind of joking and hinting about socialism and what we're seeing in a political party, it's real. And socialists don't play. Visit any socialist, I mean any socialist country, not Sweden, which isn't. Visit one that has felt the ravages of it. Go see how robust the church is. Go see how religious liberty is exercised there. There is not a Christian who wouldn't love to be in a country that has religious liberties. We currently have them, although they were shrinking. They have been expanding again under the last term. But I'm telling you, if you don't think that they will be challenged radically...
They will.
This really isn't a joke. I don't want to be Fox News. It was interesting. Last night I turned it on and I could take about 5 minutes. The angst was just makes my blood pressure just go zoom. I get it. I know the issues. I know the problem, and I'm not going to get whipped up over every single legislative issue. But let's be clear on this. This is not theory. This is a godless movement. No. It's an anti-God movement. It's not just neutral. Oh, go ahead, do your evangelical Christianity thing. It's anti-Christ. And if we don't think we're going to feel it, should the election go away, that is really, perhaps because so many evangelicals have been trying to promote, it ain't no big deal. You don't have to vote for anybody. We're going to feel the weight of that effort. And by the way, so will they. Salute number two, Dr. Wayne Grudem, writing a most fascinating article. The punchline is massive, and he buries it at the end, which is really a shame, but I'm going to do the same thing. He writes a respectful response to my friend John Piper about voting for Trump. As you know, Dr. John Piper came out and said, without saying Donald Trump's name, you don't have to, as a Christian, vote for anyone. And actually, he did express absolute bewilderment that this issue is so clear to so many of us that it's really, you mean one guy is for killing babies, the other one isn't. That he seems to be genuinely bewildered that we don't think that the president's crude behavior is worse than that. I can't grasp it myself. Dr. Wayne Grudem, responding about his friend and then stating something at the end of his lengthy response to Dr. Piper. I find it fascinating. Number one, writes Dr. Grudem, the personal sins of a leader can be as harmful to persons and to nations as morally evil laws, said Dr. Piper. The response from Dr. Grudem, there's a difference between the personal influence of a leader's example, which may be rejected, and laws that compel obedience. There's just a difference here. I'd say you've got yourself a really immoral president who, for the most part, is desiring moral laws. That's you don't have to follow his example, but you do have to submit to his laws. Now, what if you have a polite guy with bad policies? Does that mean, by the way, everybody in the country is going to get polite?
No.
But everybody's going to have to obey those laws. And that means adoption agencies can't discriminate. Means religious organizations can't discriminate. You can't. You've got to hire whoever wants to be hired by you. Oh, by the way, that goes for the church staff, too. So if you're okay with hiring, for instance, let's just say a pastor, an associate pastor, who's identifies as a different gender, you have to. You have to submit to that. Now, is that worse, or a president who tweets vulgar things? Which one is worse?
No brainer.
Dr. Grudem. Well, see, that's why this is quite fascinating to me, because Dr. Piper would say to you, Mike, no, it's a no-brainer for me. He can't understand how you have such clarity. Dr. Wayne Grudem, responding to Dr. Piper, political policies are not in general more important than personal character. They are a primary factor to consider, however, in a political election. We should remember character. But right now, that might be a luxury we can't afford. We're talking about a political election. We're not, by the way, talking about the nation of Israel. And by the way, we saw God use a lot of stinker kings to accomplish his agenda. Dr. Grudem stating, with this current president, we will get good policies and character flaws. The other guy will get bad policies and character flaws. And by the way, the biggest character flaws, he says that his personal faith says abortion is wrong, but I'm not going to actually force anybody to surrender or submit to my beliefs. Oh, that's not duplicitous. That's not political. Is that character? Wayne Grudem. When an election determines what kind of policies and laws we will have, and when both candidates have character flaws, then differences in policies and laws have primary importance. And that's really always been the case, quite honestly. But this is pithy, and I think Dr. Grudem should be applauded for respectfully and publicly disagreeing with a man he calls friend. They're both continuationists. I'm not on that theological page with Wayne Grudem. His attitude about roles of women in the church, I've got a different opinion than Wayne Grudem does. But he's willing to publicly disagree with his friend, John Piper. To that I say salute. He wrote, if a significant number of evangelicals follow John Piper's example, it will guarantee a Biden victory. Now, I don't think that's bad speculation. Permit me to read this rather lengthy quote. If evangelicals stay away from voting for either candidate, then under a Democratic presidency, I would expect the appointments of hundreds of judges who take the law in their own hands and even consider themselves to be above the original meaning of the Constitution. Laws that allow abortion up to the moment of birth and even after. The use of tax money to pay for abortions and gender reassignment surgery. The crippling of our economy and ever-increasing government control and ever-increasing taxes. That includes the church, by the way. It includes, not only that, increased unemployment, a weaker military, unable to counter the increasing aggressiveness of China, a Jimmy Carter-like foreign policy of appeasement, abandoning Israel to fend for herself in the Middle East, adding additional seats to make a liberal majority on the Supreme Court, draconian laws that compel artistic professionals to affirm the validity of same-sex marriage, even when contrary to their consciences. Think wedding industry, including your church, by the way, who will be forced to do those weddings. No joke. A reinstatement of the Obama-era guidelines that required schools to allow biological males to use girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers, and to allow them to compete in women's sports. A massive increase in energy costs, ever-increasing restrictions on police forces, leading to an increase in crime, and the proliferation of violence and intimidation to nullify freedom of speech in practice for those who disagree with the liberal political agenda and even affirm it. Open borders, sanctuary cities, and a complete federal takeover of the healthcare system, and might I add, potentially the church? Has anybody been to China who's suggesting this isn't important? Has anybody been to Venezuela and really seen what happens there? Not just to all humans, but to Christians and to the church there? Is this a big deal? It most certainly is. And to those who are shouting, hey, don't let this divide, just whatever. This is not a whatever issue. This is life and death. And while we know that Jesus is building his church and the gates of the Socialist Party will not overcome it, if we have a chance to do much good, why in the world would we not exercise that right? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the Girl Scouts deleted a tweet on Thursday which congratulated Amy Coney Barrett as being the fifth female U.S. Supreme Court justice after a leftist and abortion activist complained. The International Business Times reports that the Twitter post included photos of Barrett and the four other female justices, as well as a message congratulating her as being only the fifth woman appointed to the Supreme Court since its inception in 1789. The Girl Scouts also shared the post on Facebook. Barrett, of course, is a pro-life conservative and a well-respected law professor at the University of Notre Dame. She believes that life begins at conception and once signed an open letter that describes abortions as barbaric. Her confirmation created a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. The Girl Scouts frequently highlight women leaders like Barrett as part of its mission. In 2019, it also posted a tweet honoring the four female Supreme Court justices. But abortion activists and leftists flooded the Girl Scouts with complaints arguing that it should not honor Barrett because she is pro-life. She doesn't believe in murdering innocent babies who've done nothing wrong. The organization responded by deleting the post and issuing an apology. The Girl Scout said its organization is non-political and non-partisan, and its goal is to lift up girls and women, but apparently only if those women aren't conservative women. And speaking of not being conservative, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden says in a new interview that if he is elected president, he would prioritize the passage of the Equality Act, a bill that has sparked concern from religious liberty groups over its impact and from some LGBT activists over its effect on female sports. Biden said in a recent interview that was published yesterday that he wants to see the Equality Act passed and signed into law during his first 100 days in office. The Democrat-controlled House passed the act earlier this year, but the GOP-led Senate never brought it up for vote. A spokesman for President Trump said the bill, in its current form, is filled with poison that threatens to undermine parental and conscious rights. The Equality Act would amend federal laws to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in public accommodations and facilities, education, federal funding, employment, and housing. The Equality Act, according to Biden, is essential to reducing economic barriers and ensuring consistent protection from discrimination for LGBTQ+ individuals. Dorianne Coleman, Martina Navratilova, and Sonia Richards-Ross wrote a Washington Post editorial last year saying that they support the goal of the act, but warned that it would, quote, make it unlawful to differentiate among girls and women in sports on the basis of sex for any purpose. In its current form, they wrote, it would require biological males who identify as females to be allowed to compete in female sports. Biden also said in the interview that he would reverse some religious liberty protections that the Trump administration has implemented. And that is only what you get in the first 100 days of a Biden administration. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. That's good.
Todd.
Yeah, gentlemen.
We started. What are you doing?
I am getting used to it.
Getting used to what?
Oh, being suppressed. This is Wretched Radio. A headline says Wikipedia bans editors from expressing support for traditional marriage. Okay. All right. I like that. I'm just getting used to it because. You better. Because it's not a game here. This is really no joke. This current political season, it is indeed a whopper. Always afraid to follow the ancient every 4 year battle cry. This is the biggest election of our lifetime. But it sure seems, Christian, it is for us. Because never have we seen a public effort, an actually articulated effort to be anti-God, to be anti-Christian, to hear the disdain that is in the hearts of those people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do not believe that an introduction of socialism, which is a materialistic worldview, it is nothing to do with God. The cornerstone of that ideology is that God is the opiate of the masses. That is a part of Marxist theory. And if we think that we are just going to tiptoe through the tulips through socialism, that's just absolutely not historical. It's not. And when you talk to people who have spent time in nations that are socialist as missionaries, they will tell you, this ain't funny. In fact, I was just speaking to an individual who knows much of missions. They kill people who try to bring Bibles into jungles. They kill them. Why? Right now, it's because of COVID. And so the governments and the tribes themselves, they don't want an introduction of a virus. Real or imagined, they will kill you if you try to bring a Bible in there. Now, would a representative republic kill somebody for entering into the country doing something nefarious in their in our minds? No, you don't. But they do in socialist countries because it is a godless ideology. And these evangelicals who are trying to be academically affirmed theologians, who are trying through a massive amount of chin boogie to persuade us about this complex, thoughtful issue of politics and how there can be different categories and ways of thinking this through. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we shouldn't fight over this because, hey, it's the realm of politics, and these aren't biblical matters. We know full well that the realm of politics is not a theological realm per se, but that does not mean that we don't bring our theology to that realm to think it through. And if you and I were living in a time when we had no choice, well, then we would be living at the whims of the dictators. That would be our world. Right now, there is an opportunity to indeed do much good. There is an opportunity for us to be kind to millions of people, not just here in the good old U.S. of A., but the ripple effect that it feels around the globe. Headline, there is no international right to abortion, U.S. and 31 countries declare. This is a document called the Geneva Consensus Declaration, co-sponsored by the United States and a bunch of other nations. Then. This is from Mike Pompeo. This president has, like no other president in history, defended the dignity of human life everywhere and always. We've also mounted an unprecedented defense of the unborn abroad, protecting women's health, defending the unborn. The vital importance of the family is the foundation of society. All right. That's the very opposite of what the Socialist Party believes. You don't think that'll be felt abroad? Of course it will. And so this is not, per se, I hope, a traditional political diatribe. This is a plea, if you are a Christian, to think this through, not with academic wizardry, but just look at it on the face of it. This is easy. It's really easy. It's not complex at all. One party, pro-death, the other pro-life. Huh? One party pro-marriage, the other not. Is this complicated? Do we really need catechism? Does the Bible really not speak about these issues? What about economics? Jason Lyle, who happens to be in season one of Road Trip to Truth, which I would encourage you to start following. We are going to be populating all of our social media platforms intensely over the next few days. I would really like to encourage you, would you sign up at the YouTube page for Road Trip to Truth, on the Facebook page for Road Trip to Truth, the Instagram for Road Trip to Truth? Just look for Road Trip to Truth. You'll find it. Sign up, and you are going to start getting a lot of really good Christian defenses for the faith, where we tackle issues of truth and postmodernism and origins and the objections to God, the objections to the Bible. And it's going to be rolling out November 1st, where you will have the opportunity to get the Sunday school or youth group curriculum to teach it to your kids. Dr. Jason Lyle is one of our experts. He wrote an article about the issue of politics and voting, and I was especially attracted to his presentation on economics. When somebody, and they are saying it these days, claim that politics is not biblical, therefore, kumbaya with anybody who disagrees with you. Well, wait a second. It depends on what you mean by that. If somebody's a professing believer and they have different political perspectives on some issues, it's not a problem. Taxation, it's a more of a contested, nuanced sort of affair to a degree. That I can understand. Life, marriage, genders. I just keep finding it hard to believe that these individuals that are promoting that we just overlook all of these differences would not be saying that if the issue were slavery or rape or sex trafficking. But they do now. Jason Lyle, those on the political left view wealth inequality as a problem to be solved. They attempt to enact fundamental reforms to address structural and systemic racism and entrenched income and wealth inequality in our economy and our banking system. The socialistic economic view can be summarized as following: from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. So you, whatever your output is, you just keep doing your maximum output, but you'll only get input for what you need. That's socialism.
That's not what I want.
How's that feeling? Besides that, the question is it biblical? Under socialism, your income is completely irrelevant to how hard or long or how smart you work. Instead, your income is based entirely upon your needs. So a family of four gets paid more than a family of three because the need is greater regardless of how much they work. Now, if that just sounds like sour grapes, oh, you're just saying that because. I'm saying it because that's not biblical. And that's exactly what Jason Lyle lays out. Conversely, free enterprise. People are allowed to work hard, receive what they can make. Their income is based on labor, regardless of their needs. And that is consistent with what you reap is based on what? What you sow, not what your need is. This position of a free enterprise logically follows the biblical creation in which God created people to work, Genesis 2:15, and a worker is worthy of his wages, Luke 10:7. God's creature, by the way, we see that clearly stated by Paul. Hey, make sure you take care of the people who serve you in the church, especially those. Oh, Paul was saying he wasn't a socialist. A worker is worthy of his wages. God's creatures should be allowed to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Deuteronomy 25:4 and several other verses. God forbids theft, Exodus 20:15. God's laws protect personal property and possessions, Deuteronomy 19:14 and others. The Bible identifies socialism as wicked. See Proverbs 1:10 through 14. God gives different gifts to different people, 1 Corinthians 12, including different degrees of wealth, different degrees of abilities. It's actually a part of God's design, Matthew 25:15, 1 Samuel 2:7. Unless people think that this is unfair, we should remember that everything on earth belongs to God, Psalm 24:1, and therefore anything you own, it's actually God's. Under the biblical system, if you want more wealth, you can work harder, invest wisely, and God is pleased to give you more, Matthew 25:20 through 21, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Biblical economics also takes into view the fall of man, that there is toil that is involved. Our sin nature tends toward laziness, and God has provided motivators for us to work hard, starting with our stomachs. Furthermore, allowing us to have incentives of reward. Doesn't he offer that eternally? Isn't it true there will be brighter and lesser lights in heaven? Not everybody is going to shine at the same level. Why? Because God is not a socialist. And so the socialist ideology from a Christian standpoint should be rejected, not only because it really hurts people, others, internationally, nationally, but simply because it is absolutely, positively not biblical, which means it can't work. It just can't. This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today on Wretched Radio. We are always appreciative of your time. And hey, listen, be on the lookout for a new resource from Wretched coming soon. You've heard us talk about it. It's on the way real soon. It's The Road Trip to Truth, which will be hosted by Millennial John Fabares. He's the son of Mike Fabares. These episodes will be tackling tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there only one way to heaven? And many, many more. We want to reach the millennial generation, your kids and your grandkids, with the gospel, and you get to be a fly on the wall. 70% of kids leave their faith when they enter college, and together we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just one more reason for you to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders. And that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gonna be slow to state this, but I think it needs to be stated. This is Wretched Radio. The election, it tends to intensify clarity of thought, does it not? A few months ago, chit-chat, talk about it, maybe get a little bit annoyed, maybe a little bit excited. Well, now, as we see the sands in the hourglass disappearing, start to think real carefully about these issues. And I can't help but wonder, If when the dust settles, if a socialist is in the White House, every single time that there is anti-Christian activity out of Washington, we can potentially thank those evangelicals who tried to persuade everybody, it ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. Not just for the lives of others. It's a big deal for us personally. Here on this here Wretched Radio program, we have been talking way more about others. We've been talking mostly about babies. But now, as it gets a little bit closer, and I continue to see a barrage of articles and blogs and podcasts trying to encourage evangelicals to just chill on voting, don't worry about a thing, I'm starting to think, wait a second, I really don't think I'm going to dig the outcome of a socialist in office. It never goes well for Christians, ever. You want to know what the future is going to potentially look like? You could join the NAR, kidding, or you could take a look at history, because that tends to be the thing that repeats itself over and over again. If you want to know the best predictor of the future, look to the past. Socialism, it has worked nowhere. Not socialism. And by the way, Sweden is not socialist. Socialism is anti-God. And by the way, I found it interesting. I was Googling for some articles about how socialism is indeed anti-God. And there was some pastor who was saying, here's five reasons that socialism is not Christian. It's anti-Christian. Guess who wrote an article criticizing it? The red letter Christian folks. Oh, you mean y'all are more red than just in your letter favoritism? Yikes! And if these folks have power, if you have not liked what you have seen toward the church, toward ministries, toward believers, toward individuals trying to exercise their rights, oh, you are in for a real lulu. Because socialism, it will take you on a ride and it does not ever go up. It is just a kind. Socialism is like a roller coaster. Let's see if we can make this work. You start out going, you know, it sounds nice. We'll have amusement parks. It's just that there won't be an admission fee and we'll all get to use it. And chug, 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 up you go, increasing in altitude. Oh, everybody's going to be fed. It's going to be, you mean everything's going to be just like the park will be clean. Everybody will be happy. We'll all have big houses.
Amazing promises.
And then they get into office and whoom, down you go. And guess what? It never turns back up. Down, 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 you go.
Making you sick.
And I fully grasp God's sovereignty. I firmly believe Jesus when he said he's going to build his church, the gates of hell will not prevail over it. I know that. And yet we live in a world in real time. And would it not be better, at least as best we human beings can tell, to apply biblical thinking to political ideologies, to political elections, to do as much good as we can for the sake of the gospel going forth? I mean, just on the face of it, if Christian publishers can't print what they want, is that a good thing? I mean, I know that God can work it underground. I know that. I get that. But we're living, and I could not go to the grocery store because God could bring the groceries to my house. But I go to the store because I have to live in this world, and I have to make decisions based on reality. And I can't think of a way that it is good if freedom of religion is strangled. I can't see. I know God can work out of that. I get that. But I could apply that sort of thinking to the most egregious scenarios. Somebody's getting beaten up in the middle of a street. I could help, but
God's sovereign.
He could take care of it. He could just reach down and he could send somebody else who's stronger, who's equipped for these things. I'm just supposed to live peaceably among men. I can justify all kinds of bad thinking. But we look at the current scenario and we simply ask, which would be better for the church? And I think that we can't do the old switcheroo. Well, haven't we always seen the church grow underneath oppression? Sure, but we've also seen the church explode with liberty. I would suggest you far more, haven't we? Hasn't America been a powerhouse for the propagation of the gospel overseas? Ask the Tomorrow Clubs how much they love working in communist nations and even former communist nations where they feel the ripple effect. It is hard. Now, one religion, they're happy because that's the state-endorsed religion. The problem is it's just not Christian. Tomorrow Clubs, that's why they just keep banging away, bringing the gospel. Would really like to encourage you to support that ministry. They're outstanding. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Kids clubs all over Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 little disciples, strengthening the local churches. Why? Because in Eastern European nations, there's hostility. We've talked to Paul Marty before. Cindy Marty will tell you. They want them shut down, but they labor on. Isn't it better to have the liberty to meet freely? Ask our Chinese brothers and sisters, which would you prefer? And by the way, they're getting arrested as we speak. Good Christians, right now, disappearing. Their families are going, I sure am glad this is communist, because wow, I don't miss my husband and father at all. Pro-life evangelicals for abortion. The red letter socialists. You've got good organizations that are promoting really bad ideas when it comes to politics. And this, 1/3 of pastors have endorsed candidates this year outside the church rule. Here's the statistic. 98% of Protestant pastors have not endorsed a candidate from the pulpit this year. I'm not going to bang my fist on the table on this one, but why not? No, really, why not? I'm asking. This is a sincere question. Why not? And I think the reason that we have such an aversion to saying, hey, here's the more moral guy with the better policies that will end up with better Christian flourishing because, well, we do want to do good to the household of faith first. Which guy will be better for us and for the world? Why can't a pastor say that? And the answer is separation of church and state, we think. Nonprofit status. I think that's what's influenced us. And so it is. A lot of pastors feel that pressure. And this is a fascinating article because it reveals statistic after statistic. 32% say they've endorsed a candidate outside of their church role. And in their mind, that works somehow. I would simply challenge us to ask, Pastor, wouldn't we expect you to speak from the pulpit on other moral issues? Wouldn't we We beg you for that. Why not on this issue? Babies will die in greater numbers if one guy wins. Babies will die. More like not a couple, probably hundreds of thousands in this country alone. Funding for abortion. Your money, Pastor, your money's going to go to fund abortions. Already does. More will go. So will ours. Why don't we want our men of God to speak on this issue? I'm genuinely asking. What is it that has persuaded us? Ooh, that is a big taboo no-no. Here's another article. This is Baptist News. Pastors feeling political pushback from both sides. The political tension in churches is so intense right now. Many of them get pushback from both sides. They just feel caught in the middle. Pastor, I'd like to challenge you. I'm not going to tell you... What in this issue that you're sinning or not sinning, that far be that from my purview. Shame on me if I did. But sir, I would simply challenge you to think about why your spiritual leadership does not involve this issue. Why? Is it because of the government? Is it? And maybe it's we're feeling that squeezing from a government because we don't speak out on these issues. I don't know of a prognosticator. Nobody knows the future definitively, but I don't think that there's anybody who spends about a minute, maybe minimum of 2 minutes studying this issue who thinks that things will be better under socialism. Why not now? Why not today? Why not this Sunday? when we can be doing good unto people. This is a biblical matter. It is a biblical matter. This isn't a political issue. This is a biblical matter. These are Christian issues. These are life and death issues. These are gospel issues. These are liberty issues. And I mean that in the Christian sense. So, Pastor, I would simply ask you to think it through. What voice are you listening to when it comes to determining what you are going to say about issues of life and death, aka this political election? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.